It's time for Cover 2 with Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks.
So the fact that you said that my point is valid means I win?
No, you're a foolish idiot.
And now, here's Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Cover 2 podcast. Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks hanging out with you on 104.5theteam.com. Pierce Fricks, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am fantastic, Joe. How you doing this
afternoon? Man, you know, I'm good. I'm trying to figure out where to start today, but I guess because of, you know, the fact that it's NFL season, we should probably just start with the NFL, right?
I would say that
it kind of dominates everything, so I think we got to go there.
And you know, you feel terrible if you're baseball right now. Baseball, you know, we're talking week 3, by the way, which doesn't even happen for another half a week. In the NFL, and that's trumping 18-inning masterpieces by the Baltimore Orioles. Cinderella story, fantastic storylines. Miguel Cabrera, under the radar, by the way. Did you know he is 2 homers away from
leading the Triple Crown?
From the Triple Crown.
I had that on here to talk about that at some point. Like, where has this story been? Usually we're beat to death by anyone who has, like, the tiniest shot.
We were beat to death by Matt Kemp in the Triple Crown talk at the end of April. The guy hadn't even pulled his first hamstring yet, and we're sitting here talking about how he might win the Triple Crown. Again, if you look at Miggy, he did have 2 home runs yesterday and a win. By the way, the Detroit Tigers, they're showing up at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he had 2 home runs, so he's 2 away. So as of yesterday, he was 4 off the pace. That's a large number, you know. So there's a perception thing there.
Right, but still, he was first in average. He was the first in RBI, I think. And he's the only one he's trailing in his home run. And he's within shouting distance of home run. Usually SportsCenter would be beating us to death with Triple Crown possibilities. I mean, how many times do you see a guy get a good start in April, in the first week of May, he's on pace to hit 79 home runs this year. I hope you all know that. That's what he's on pace to do.
Right.
Now we got a guy who's actually, like, on the, like, could legitimately hit the target.
Which would be great, by the way, because Miguel Cabrera has been the best hitter in baseball for 5-6 years.
And nobody knew that until last night when I didn't even know who was doing sport. I learned about it this morning when Hannah Storm said, you know, Miguel Cabrera's got a shot at the Triple Crown. I was like, really?
What is this, Barbaro?
When did that happen?
It is absolutely. And you know what the problem is? Scab officials.
Oh, come
on. It is a scab official issue.
Yeah, we're going to just blame everything on scab officials.
Listen, facts are facts. If you look at the scab officials and the attention that they're getting.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
and the undue attention the scab officials are getting, by the way.
Undue or
undue.
Not entirely undue. Perhaps a little overdone.
Pretty much undue attention.
I mean, listen, it's a cake that deserves to be baked, but it's perhaps getting a little bit overcooked. I will say that.
Love
but
your metaphor.
But in that regard, I mean, it's tough enough. You know, you watch a dominating Falcons team yesterday. On Monday night, I thought they were overrated. They are not. They looked really good.
They did look great.
And you sit and you hardly get there's hardly enough room to talk about the football game, let alone, you know, these great baseball games, because we all know that baseball is second fiddle to the NFL as soon as the NFL starts playing. And to be honest, as soon as they start playing preseason games, the you know, MLB takes a significant
hit. And that's got to be such a bummer for Major League Baseball. Like, you're finally. Because let's be honest, even if you love baseball, even if you are the most diehard baseball fan ever, which I know you are, Mr. Bricks.
I do love baseball.
Even if you're that guy, at sometime like mid-July, you've just got to be like, God, this is a lot of baseball.
Well, yeah.
And it is just every day. I mean, it's 160. At some point, you're just like, wow, this is.
It's not.
This is really a lot of baseball.
It gets pretty dependent. You know, on your situation. If I were a Yankee fan right now, I mean, if I'm
That's
a Baltimore
true.
Oriole fan, then
oh, you love it
you
every
know,
second.
I'm on cloud but, 9. But right, this hasn't happened
but,
in 20 years.
But like, even in July, you're like, wow, this is a lot of this is really a lot. And then it finally gets to like you finally start building towards something with pennant races and the looming playoffs and getting your there's a crescendo, and it's just your whole orchestra is crescendoing. And then the tuba that is the NFL just comes over top and goes, and you can't hear anything.
I'm sure that was healthy radio right there. It's true. And, you know, especially if you're a Met fan or a fan of a terrible team, and the way a terrible – if you're a fan of a terrible football team, and as Giants fans, that's happened to us before.
Occasionally.
That sucks, and it gives you a looming, you know, pit of your stomach suctitude, but you only have to bear through it 16 times, just once a week. You know, you sit there, you watch, it's a bummer, you get drunk, and you go home. With baseball, it's, you know, you suck. You sucked on Monday. Tuesday, here's a dose of suck. Hey, have you forgotten that you suck? Good, we'll remind you on Wednesday. We'll take a day off on Thursday. Friday, we're back. So that can really wear on you in the dog days of summer.
But even, like, you're finally built to it. And I mean, you're right. Last night, the Orioles win in 18 innings to stay basically, I mean, percentage points behind, but effectively tied atop the AL East with the Yankees. And, you know, SportsCenter leads off with replacement refs and then does four NFL stories and goes, oh, by the way, they're still playing baseball. We all forgot about it, but here it is. We'll talk about it a little bit for you. It's just got to be such a bummer
It's certainly
for the MLB.
An issue. You think Bud Selig would have to address it somehow. I would say a good thing to do, and I don't, you know, and this isn't going to overnight turn the tides. You know, there's no reason why they can't enforce a little bit more of a time code.
You think that's what would solve?
I think it would do it. It would help a little bit. I mean, the games take forever.
I don't think necessarily that it's a baseball problem. Anything, you know, X and O stamp. I think it's a standpoint of you're facing the NFL. Like,
yeah.
Ain't nothing beating the NFL right now. You're just up against the monster that will not stop for anything.
But the NFL is taking a hit right now. The NFL, people aren't liking the rules. And Steve Young made these comments yesterday, famously, they've got a lot of play. Obviously, people are still watching the game, but this is a time, if you're a competitor, you know, i.e. Bud Selig in Major League Baseball, that you can try to, you know, chisel off a chip of this, you know, of this block and try to do something. And I think time codes, you know, there's no reason Nomar Garciaparra has to step out, redo his gloves 377 times, like he's the Kevin Na of baseball.
What are you going to do, have a shot clock and the,
yes.
You know, just blinking right behind home plate? I mean, that would just the kind that you were getting to
there,
a point
no.
where it's just going to look ridiculous.
It's as simple as this. You get a warning, you get an additional warning, and if you're a pitcher who's circling the mound too often, or if you're a New York Yankee or a Boston Red Sox, because they both feel entitled, both of those clubhouses, more than anybody else, feels entitled to take as long as possible to get in the batter's box.
Winning
if I
takes
warn
time.
You, if I say, hey, swish.
Greatness takes time. What can I say?
Swish, you're taking a little bit too long, buddy. And then I say, hey, swish, it's your double warning. And a third time, the pitcher gets awarded a strike. That is a strike on you. And conversely, if you warn the pitcher three times, the third time, he's punished with a ball. He gets a ball added to his count. Mm-hmm. And if it's a 3-2 count, that guy is awarded the base. And if it's a 2-strike count, that guy strikes out. That's going to get you in the box.
I guess.
You'll be in the bat. And that
I mean, we can sit here and talk problems with baseball all day, but right now, their problem right now is that nobody's beating the NFL.
Well, okay, what are you going to do? Okay, There's a dude,
shorten the season?
There's a dude dating some hot chick that you want, and you're going to be like, instead of, you know, trying to lose a little bit of weight and maybe, you know, brush up on something and have good habits and change your hobbies, you're going to sit there and be like, well, nobody's beating Devin. Devin has got that locked up. Until they're married, until he puts a ring on it, if he likes it, you know what I'm saying? Beyonce highlight.
I am a gentleman, Bricks, and so I am offended by that statement.
I'm not saying going after married guys, but this guy, their boyfriend and girlfriend, there's still room to seep in there and earn your way, and you're just gonna be like, ah.
Honestly,
you know what?
I wouldn't. If it were me, I might look into shortening the season so that you're playing, you're in the playoffs by the time the NFL starts.
It's not a terrible idea,
right? Because 162 games gets a little long. I think. I mean, your shot clock idea is fine in theory, but. I think it's one of those things,
about it like this. If you're
it'd be like such a this is weird. I have no real argument against it other than, well, that's kind of a bummer. It would just kind of be
it's really
kind
not
of be weird
it's
and
not.
Be kind of a bummer.
We are talking about increasing the pace of play, what would end up being 15 to 20 minutes. But in a 3-hour game, in a 2.5 to 4-hour game, that is going to be helpful. It's going to be beneficial. People with jobs and responsibilities and children don't have time to sit down
to be watching 18-inning games.
Yeah, exactly. To watch, well, even 9-inning games. They don't have time to watch Big Pelfrey, you know, fight his own mind on that mound while he's waiting to make a pitch every single pitch. There's stuff to do. People have stuff. And little kids, if you're talking about growing the game, I mean, they have, you know, you see little kids yelling at their smartphone, I want to smack them upside the head, like, give it a second, it'll load the internet to you, just give it a freaking second. Who really cares what movie Val Kilmer was in last? It's not an important thing.
That got, that went an interesting
clip.
Yeah,
right there. I think that Val Kilmer, I think that was pawned off in Aziz Ansari now that I think about it.
I think there was a combination of Louis C.K., and it was both of those combined.
It is.
That was a weird place that just went.
It's true. No, what I'm trying to emphasize here is that it's a I need it now, fast-paced society that we're going into, and Major League Baseball is a very slow game that was king when times were slower. When people would read about it in the paper, they wouldn't even be able to see the game. So the game needs to keep up with the Joneses, keep up with the time.
Keep up with the Joneses.
And of right now, they're not doing it.
Fitting every pop culture reference we possibly can into Cover 2 podcast. Pettit returns for the Yanks today. Any thoughts there? I think this is long awaited for me. I'm excited to see Pettit come back. I think his return could be huge for the Yanks. I mean, I know he's not going to go out and pitch 9 innings today, but if he comes back, he pitches 5 good innings against the Blue Jays, gets another couple good starts before the playoffs. I think this could be huge.
Huge. I think that if we went back in time to the when the Yankees signed Andy Pettit and we did an outrageous claim and I said, Joe B, outrageous claim, you play the sounder, we're having a great time. The Yankees will hinge their late season and postseason hopes on a 40-year-old pitcher that they just took out of retirement for a last chance shot. You would say, if we're doing that, we're screwed. I don't think
but it's... But are they right now? I might have said that, but my predictions have been wrong. Are they screwed right now? I don't think so. They're tied atop the East.
No, they're not screwed.
They've got a favorable schedule. They've got decent... They still have decent pitching, but Pettit solidifies it. It's like what I told you last week. If you tell me that I can get a 40-year-old pitcher out of retirement who's pitching all right, and then, oh, by the way, he's the greatest postseason pitcher of all time, and he knows what he's doing in October, I'll take that. Every single time. I'll say, I'll take a guy who knows what he's doing come playoff time. And that's what Andy Pettit knows.
Andy Pettit is a great postseason pitcher. But that greatness label is a bit skewed because you have to take into account that the guy pitched on teams that made the postseason all the time. The only way you can accrue that many wins
But he's been great in the postseason. Are you trying to tell me that Andy Pettit isn't? No, you just said he's a great postseason pitcher.
He is a great postseason, but the greatest of all time.
And do you not disagree? Do you disagree that there is something to, you know, veteran ability and just knowing what you're doing, having a presence on the mound and being that crafty veteran come crunch time? Is there something to crafty veteranship?
There is something to crafty veteranship, but you're going to win the World Series off crafty veteranship?
It gets me a step closer. Listen, it gets me a step closer, and I will take that every time.
Okay, but listen, there's the argument that he's the greatest. I would say Curt Schilling is better.
Oh,
you can look at guys like Randy. As postseason pitcher, you're just a hater. You're a hater who's hating right
now.
I do.
I'm a hater on Curt Schilling.
Which is fine, but the guy is a great postseason pitcher. He had a cut on his foot.
We're stopping. We're going to come back. We're going to talk NFL because if he says one more thing
about the bloody sock,
I swear to God, you and I are going to have a fight now. If I haven't beaten Brixie too badly, we'll come back on the other side. We'll talk NFL. It's Cover 2.